So this source of joy that Jesus gives us, the source of that joy is not simply that there is a Son of God who has, for some reason, come into the flesh.
Pastor Hans Feeney of Lutheran Satire speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
The great source of joy, the source of joy for the Christian, is that the Son of God came into the flesh for you. That this very universe was created for you, and that when you were lost in its fallenness, Jesus Christ came into this world, gave up his life upon the cross, and rose from the grave.
You can watch Pastor Hans Feeney's teaching, Making the Case for Jesus for You, from our 2025 Making the Case Conference. For a contribution of $300 by Holy Cross Day, September 14th, we'll send you a link to conference video and audio recordings. Order today at issuesetc.org.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For we need the Father as the Son, as the Holy Spirit.
Blessed be God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
O come, let us worship Him. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing joyful voices to
Thank you. Blessed be God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
A reading from Matthew chapter 10. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
Forever, O Lord, your word is firmly set in the heavens. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it.
Lord,
to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
Lord, love the habitation of your house, and the place where your glory dwells.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We have come to the last day of our first week. How have you been? We, the faculty and staff, are really, really happy that you are all here. If you are from abroad, I pray that you are getting used to the new food, new environments, and a new way of theology. It's not easy to get adjusted, even if you may feel privileged to be here. Years ago, on September 8, 1987, to be correct, I arrived in Fort Wayne Airport from Japan as a new Master of Divinity student. My suitcase didn't arrive. So that was a problem, but another was the first culture shock. A very good, kind professor graciously came to the airport to pick me up. I was brought to his campus housing until the dorm was opened. I saw he entered into the house without taking his shoes off, on a beautiful white carpet. Oh, this may be American way of doing things. Then the gracious professor turned to me with the warmest smile and asked me, "Do you like to have something cold to drink?" I said, "No, thank you," with an expectation that he would ask me again. A lowly student approached by a highly esteemed professor, it was regarded very rude in Japan to express a desire straightforwardly. Only asked three times. Then a student may dare express himself like, "Thank you for asking. If it is not too bothersome for you, I would like to have a glass of Coke or something." The professor was not a Japanese. So naturally, he said, "Okay," smiling, and he said, "Good night." I was very tired after a long flight over the Pacific Ocean, and very thirsty. So after I was sure that he went to bed and all lights off in the house, I silently and secretly went to the kitchen, opened the refrigerator, and found a Coke. Oh, that was the best Coke I ever drank. I acted so stupidly in a new culture, while this professor was very nice and welcoming. So once again, how have you been this week? We are all here to assist you in any way we are able. But as you adjust yourself and your family for a new year, you started to hear a message that to be a pastor or a deaconess is actually a serious business. Do you remember Dr. Weinrich's sermon yesterday about Epaphroditus? What did he say about being a pastor in today's context? It is a risky business. The utmost dedication and commitment are called for. And if you attend my Dogmatics 3 course this week, you have heard me saying that one of the names given to the pastoral office in the New Testament was actually a Malthus or Maltrace. You are the witnesses of these things, Luke 24. You will be my witnesses, Acts chapter 1, a witness that ultimately leads to death, martyrdom. Dr. Weinrich's question yesterday seems to have been this: are you ready? Today's text continues with the similar or the same line of talk. It is Matthew 10. It is the second discourse, or what some call a missionary discourse. Before our text, Jesus said, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then immediately he called the 12 and sent them to the lost house of Israel with a particular message and with a particular work. Jesus knew how dangerous it was for him to send the 12. He said, "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves." That's 10:16. "Do not fear those who kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, fear him who can destroy both soul and body in hell." Verse 28. I know a real-life story about this verse that actually happened to my dear colleague in Ethiopia, which I can maybe share with you sometime later. And then in our text, Jesus repeated the same phrase to the 12, "You are not worthy of me. If you love your father or mother more than me, you are not worthy of me. If you love your son or daughter more than me, you are not worthy of me. If you do not take your cross and follow me, you are not worthy of me." Jesus demands the future pastors, that's you, to make Jesus the absolute priority in your life. Yet, both students and faculty are equally simul justus et peccator, sinful and just at the same time. Therefore, we struggle with our pride, arrogance, abuse of power, laziness, boredom, envy and jealousy, strife, sins of pleasure, and infidelity. Temptations abound. In addition to the risk in our souls, we face dangers in our bodies too, which reminds us again of the story of Epaphroditus yesterday. Is there a bright side of any news this week at all? Yes. The office hymn that we sang together today is one. Another is verse 40, which may have been omitted in our reading, which reads, "Whoever receives you receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me." Now, this is a very comforting message. Let me explain. Roman Catholic Church brothers of both present and in the 16th century used this passage, among many others, to promote their idea that the teaching office, particularly the office of the Pope, has a God-given authority to demand the Church to obey the human traditions and laws that it has created. You can read about it in the Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church or in the Confutation of the Augsburg Confession concerning Article 26 and Article 28. Such abuse of this passage was not overlooked by Melanchthon. He wrote in Apology 28, paragraph 18 and 19, "He who hears you hears me," that's a Lucan version of this passage, "does not extol quote-unquote, unlimited authority of the Pope. Rather, Jesus wishes his own voice, his own word to be heard, not human traditions." And Melanchthon continues by stating that this passage therefore contains the most important comfort and doctrine. The Latin original is clear. Gravissimam consolationem and et doctrinam. The weightiest consolation and doctrine. When a pastor Christian teaches as a man in the office of the holy ministry, his job is not to let his voice be heard, but the voice of Jesus be heard. In doing so, a pastor removes himself away from people's attention so that the viva vox evangelii, the voice, the living voice of the gospel, may be heard. Apology 7 and 8 also quotes this passage to say that what a pastor, when the pastor preaches and administers the sacraments, he represents the person of Christ, not merely the words of Christ, but the person of Christ, and not representing his own person. He serves the gospel and sacraments in the stead and in the place of Christ, Christi vicae et loco. And this, our brothers, is our comfort. The pastoral office is not about unlimited power and authority. It is not about self-promotion or self-elevation. It is about humbly submitting ourselves to Jesus for his use of our hands and our mouth, so that his voice may deliver the forgiveness of sins. Jesus is the one who speaks. Jesus is the one who forgives. He is the one who comforts by the use of the man he put into his office. So this morning, we can repeat, Jesus considers you as important, dear brothers. Not just he has forgiven you your sins, not just he has given you his name to bear with the water of baptism, and not just he keeps on giving you and your mouth his body and blood to eat and to drink, but he wants to use your mouth and your hands in his ministry so that the forgiveness of sins may be delivered. You are special. You are very special in the eyes of Jesus our Lord. Yes, your dedication is called for. Yes, we are living in a dangerous context. But the pastoral office comes with the weightiest comfort. So may the Lord richly bless your studies, and may the Lord bring you joy when he will put you into the office of the holy ministry in the very near future. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
O Lord, hear my prayer.
And let my cry pass to you.
O merciful Lord, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all. Grant us courage and strength to take up the cross and follow him, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, you have called your church to witness that in Christ you have reconciled us to yourself. Grant that by your Holy Spirit we may proclaim the good news of your salvation, so that all who hear it may receive the gift of salvation. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.